As we heard, the first Americans to get the coronavirus vaccine here in the U.S. could be rolling up their sleeves soon, and public health experts agree it's the best chance to end the pandemic. But right now, the pandemic is growing, and so is the anti-vaccine movement, fueled by fear of vaccines, but also distrust of politicians, drug makers, fears fanned by opportunists who oppose any government involvement in their lives. And at some point, that anti-mask crowd merged with the anti-vax movement and with conspiracy theorists like QAnon and people who believe 5G cell towers caused COVID. They blossom like algae on social media, although it's hard to find them because both Facebook and YouTube have policies to remove them. And according to Bloomberg News, anti-vax books now top the search list on Amazon and Barnes & Noble websites. Well, Renee DiResta follows all of it. She's technical research manager at the Stanford Internet Observatory, an expert in the study of online manipulation and the anti-vaxxer movement. Renee, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So a recent Lancet article says the anti-vaxxer movement added 8 million people over the last year. 31 million people now follow anti-vaccine Facebook groups. 17 million subscribe to YouTube accounts. How big is this?
I think the challenge has been that it's growing. It's difficult to get an accurate sense of how many people fully believe all of the things that are said in these groups and on these pages. Oftentimes, pages are classified as anti-vaccine groups or pages because they put out some of that content, but their primary focus is something else. So getting an accurate number is actually really kind of a challenging thing to do.
Yeah. And also knowing what you're looking at, there are also very official looking websites by groups with names like the Children's Ethical Safety Research Institute pushing false vaccine information. This reminds me a little bit of what we've heard that QAnon does, pull people in by pushing this completely false theory that Democrats in particular are running child sex trafficking organizations. Completely, completely not true. But there are people who are concerned about child sex trafficking get pulled into that. Is it a little bit like that?
Yeah, so it's that a page may not have a primary focus on what some would consider to be a core anti-vaccine belief, but they're concerned about another issue that's adjacent or related. So you come for the organic food, the baby wearing, and then in the course of that, you are also all of a sudden becoming the recipient of constant pushes of messages related to this other thing that you may not necessarily have joined for.
Well, and this is a good place to mention, we're talking about people from all across the political spectrum. A lot of people who are on the left looking for an organic lifestyle, a healthy lifestyle. I'm told there are names from that side that would probably shock people. One of them is not anonymous. Robert Kennedy Jr. is very much into the anti-vaccine world. So this is both sides.
Yeah, so there are 7 or 8 distinct threads of anti-vaccine messaging. So there's the health component, the idea that there are toxins in vaccines. There is the old conspiracy, and you know, it's been debunked over and over and over again, but it persists, that vaccines cause autism. There are narratives related to religion, the idea that if God made you perfect, why would you need a vaccine? More narratives that appeal to the right tend towards the application of the vaccine, the idea that the government telling you to do something is tyranny. But oftentimes you'll see these groups kind of come together, again, around the idea that they don't want to get a shot, just on the routine immunizations front. And then we have another vaccine that is coming through the pipeline related to COVID. I think people are looking for information and they're looking to their online communities. People ask these questions in mom groups. They ask these questions in school reopening groups. And oftentimes the thing that is going to help make the decision is who you trust.
The facts are on the side of the people who have communicated the value of vaccines. So it's not that there's a lack of facts.
Well, that's why people are really begging the incoming Biden administration to spend almost as much money on getting information out as they are getting the vaccine out.
The challenge, though, is that the real information, the information that comes from scientific studies over years and years and years, looking at routine school immunizations, consistently shows that the vaccines are safe. But at the same time, there are a lot of truly terrible stories out there in which families have had things go wrong in proximity to a vaccine. And those stories are heart-wrenching often, and they scare people. And when you're presented with dry statistics versus a first-person YouTube video of a mom telling her story, oftentimes people find the YouTube right. video much more resonant.
Well, but then there are also, I mean, when the protests began against shutdowns, and this was back in the spring, we could see in the photographs some of the leading anti-vaxxers sort of melding into the anti-shutdown crowd. And there are also conspiracy theorists, and you could stumble across some of these, that the vaccine can alter someone's DNA. Or what are some of the other conspiracy theories that are out there?
There's a lot. Right now, you know, there's a conspiracy that financial motivation is what's driving the vaccine process, that there are treatments that are highly effective against COVID that the government is keeping from us. There are conspiracies, again, all false, that, you know, Bill Gates is profiting from this in order to microchip you. There are theories that this is going to turn people into antennas for 5G. There's no mechanism by which that could happen. But at the same time, this is still a narrative that begins to gain traction among the conspiratorial anti-5G community. And so you see a lot of these cross-pollination narratives taking shape. One thing that we're seeing is a lot of attempts to obscure the source. So there was a WordPress blog broaching the idea that the vaccine was going to sterilize people. And it was shared as a photograph, as a meme. And so the information, this very sensational information, is presented to people in the form of an infographic that looks legitimate. But if you were to go and try to dig in and try to understand where the claims came from, they're not coming from any kind of scientific organization at all. They're coming from a random WordPress page. That's just not immediately obvious to people when they encounter the information on their social feeds.
One other element here is the political. And we did a story, and we'll link you to it, on Black's historical fear of the medical community, a well-founded fear based on how often Blacks have historically been experimented on. And there are several Black leaders and Anthony Fauci trying to overcome that. But when we did our story, we also heard there's distrust of this administration. How much has President Trump played into this? While now he's pushing what he's calling his vaccine, in 2007, he was anti-vaccine. He made comments along those lines. He did not get behind masks. So how much have these mixed messages affected, you know, everyone when it comes to vaccines?
The crisis of leadership and the lack of trust is impossible to separate out from what's happening today. The problem is people are not sure what authority figures to trust. So on the left, you saw people saying that they wouldn't trust anything that came out of President Trump's FDA. And now, as President Biden, you know, will take office shortly, I think we'll see the same thing from the other side. As we're seeing, there are people who just simply don't trust politicians or media unless it's part of their partisan community. The Black communities had historical reasons, terrible circumstances with regard to things like Tuskegee, and countering that, making them feel that they're able to trust the vaccine and that it's not going to exploit their communities in some way. Again, that has to come from people who they believe have their best intentions at heart and are well-informed. And so this is where really there's a phenomenal role to play here for community organizations, religious leaders that serve particular communities. And so those are the voices that have to be incorporated into the conversation about any vaccine rollout, because their moral authority is so key at this point to countering wild accusations and sensationalism that prey on people's fears.
So meantime, people are being targeted with misinformation on Facebook and Twitter. But studies show that it would take 75% of the population getting vaccinated to control the outbreak. Do you worry that we might not get there?
Yeah, for sure. Unfortunately, a lot of the rhetoric is trending towards this "why should I have to" narrative. And I think that we need to make sure that anybody who's communicating about why these vaccines matter is explaining the value to all of society, not just to the individual, and how any restoration of, you know, our old way of living is something that we bear a collective responsibility for.
No. Renee DiResta, again, technical research manager at the Stanford Internet Observatory, an expert in the study of online manipulation. Renee, just we've got a couple seconds here, but I have to ask you. I ask this of people whose job it is to pour through disinformation and misinformation. What's that like?
Well, it's an interesting glimpse into understanding what makes people think and feel a certain way. How do we make sure that communities are receiving information in the way that helps them achieve a full understanding of the facts, making sure that they're not manipulated by grifters or people who are putting out information because there's a financial motivation for them, or a, what we call clout chasing, getting a lot of likes kind of motivations. It's not enough to just say, oh, if the CDC put out more facts, this problem would be solved. It makes you think a lot about how people see the world, what they trust, and how those trusted messages can reach and connect with the greatest number of people.
Oh, I hope people responsible for doing that are talking to you about how to do that. Are they?
I'd rather not go into that,
okay,
if you don't mind.
All right. Okay, that's fine. That's Renee DiResta, again, of Stanford. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. Have a great rest of the day.
And we'll link you to our story about Black Americans' historical fears of vaccines with thoughts from Dr. Anthony Fauci. That's at herenow.org. And we'd love to hear if you feel you've been targeted with disinformation about vaccines. Send us an email at letters@herenow.org.